Welcome to Straight from the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome you to our show, or episode, which is about Yellowstone. Well, our trip to Yellowstone, specifically.
Yes.
Let's talk about how Yellowstone happened, because there's a whole reason why it ended up being Yellowstone and not something else.
God. Yeah, because as you know, this is a furry podcast. So, yeah. You know, when it comes to vacation stories, you would typically hear things like FWA, BLFC, MFF. But now this year it's Yellowstone. So Space and I have been doing this podcast and our old show for media for
a couple years, at least three or four.
And we have never met in person until this year. And our original plan was to go to Furry Week in Atlanta together. Space and Felix were going to drive down to me in Georgia and stay with me, and we were going to go to the convention. But then COVID happened.
Motherfucking COVID,
and FWA got canceled, and then BLFC just got postponed. So we were like, okay, well, let's aim for BLFC then. But then,
well, we were gonna go for that.
No, you're fine. And then BLFC got canceled,
and we're just like, seriously?
Yeah.
And at this point, Felix and I were like, we need a vacation. We have to have a vacation. I don't care where it is. We fly Bean out. We go. So Yellowstone popped up because Yellowstone's fairly close to where we are in Utah. It's only about 6 to 8 hours drive to there. So we figured it's close. It'll be
not easy. Even. It was like 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah. Well, no. The 4 or 5 hours to Bear World and about 2 hours from Bear World. So about four to five. Just depends on how fast you drive. But it's fairly close. We thought, okay, we'll go there. No big deal. And then we hashed the plan to go to Yellowstone, which was one of the best things we've done this whole year.
Definitely. And before any of y'all get all upset, like, oh, you shouldn't, you know, that's risky to do this and that, we did everything as safely as we could. You know, we sanitized, we wore masks and all that. So
quarantine.
Let us have this. Yeah, we were all quarantined before this trip. So it's just let us have this thing. We needed this thing.
Everyone needs like if you can have a moment to hold on to that gets you through the year, then that to be the moment that you should be able to cherish. And this was our moment. We were going to do it regardless of if you said, oh, or, you know, this, that, and the other. I could care the fuck less what you think. I had a great time and I do not regret it whatsoever.
God. And even if we didn't have a vacation planned, I'm pretty sure we still had a plan to fly me up there, even if it was just to hang out at your house. Like, so either way, and this was a really fun experience. I don't know about y'all, but I personally, it's been on my bucket list for years to go to Yellowstone. I am a pretty outdoorsy person. I like to hike. I like to camp, and going there was just amazing. So I was very excited about it. And it's outdoors, so.
And, you know, we wanted a break from Utah because Utah just sucks and COVID sucks. Like Bean said, we took all the precautions. We made sure that we had tons of masks. We had hand sanitizer with us at all times. We socially distanced while in town. And we'll go over the COVID restrictions in Yellowstone because it's a little bit different than it is here in Utah. But we'll go over that in a minute. Why don't you talk about your journey before you got to Utah?
Oh, my gosh. So that whole week was... there was a lot going on in my life. So, you know, the Monday before the vacation, my grandfather passed away. And it was a whole ordeal and all this and that happened. And he lives out of state. So a couple of days after he passed away, my mom was up there planning the funeral and whatnot. And then the day before I was supposed to fly out was my grandfather's funeral. So that day before, I drove up to North Carolina, which is about a 4.5 hour drive for me. And then that, you know, the next day went to my grandfather's funeral. And directly after the funeral, and all the family get-togethers, and you know, in the, I don't know about in the North, but in the South, when you have a funeral, you go back to that person's house and you eat a shit ton of food and you talk to people. That's how it goes. So we were eating, you know, mac and cheese and cookies and fried chicken and all that shit. And so that I wasn't done with that until probably 5:30. And from there, I had to make the 4.5-hour drive home. And then my flight the next morning was at 6 in the morning. And you're supposed to arrive
about an hour, 2 hours, especially with COVID restrictions. We didn't know if there would be lines that she would have to wait in. So we just kind of
Memorial Day weekend or something?
Yeah. So, not the brightest. I you know, and I didn't realize it until like that weekend. I'm like, wow, why did we make decision to go on Labor Day weekend? Was it Memorial Day or Labor Day?
I don't remember, but
whatever. It was some sort of holiday.
And for those who don't know, the airport in Atlanta is the world's largest airport. It's the world's largest airport. So you have to get there usually 2 hours early. So that would mean I would have to be awake at 4:30 to get ready and go and drive, because I lived at the time about 35 minutes away from the airport. So I got home at maybe 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I just made the decision that I'm not going to sleep. Because if I went to sleep and only got 2 or 3 hours of sleep, I would have been more tired and harder for me to get to the airport rather than, you know, just staying up. So I ended up just watching Ink Masters for 3 hours and then leaving. Oh, God. But it was a lot. It was really exciting, though, honestly. And I remember on my way home from North Carolina, I ended up stopping at a racetrack and buying 3 corn dogs as my late night dinner and calling space while sitting in my car. And I remember when I called, I was wharfing down corn dogs and you were on the shitter.
I was.
We were both just in really weird, awkward, vulnerable position.
And let me just say, it doesn't matter where I am. There is no like, there's no privacy screen, I guess you could say, between someone who's on the shitter and someone like being who we're just talking, because she was just totally okay with it. So we were just talking.
Yeah.
It was weird though, because like the fan was on and there was kind of like a little bit of an echo. And I'm like, this is so awkward for me. But then I was just like, whatever.
I didn't give a fuck.
Nope. So we talked for a bit and then, I kind of slept that night. I don't remember if I actually did. I hadn't slept all week, so I was really tired as well. And then day one. How long was your flight? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, gosh. Wasn't it like 3 hours, I think? It wasn't bad.
And then, of course, you know, she's traveling back in time, you know, because time zones.
Yeah, and it was really weird because I didn't sleep. And then the time jump. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I was up for over 24 hours.
We picked up Bean at the airport, and then we decided that we would go to 9th and 9th, which if you're in Utah, you might know where 9th and 9th is. It's up in Salt Lake City. It's 9,000 South, 9,000 East. So it's kind of like, they call it 9th and 9th. And there's like little shops here and there, but we really wanted to take Bean to this place called Cahoots. It's like the novelty shop plus sex things.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. I got a bunch of stickers for my water bottle there.
That's right. Because I remember you washing your water bottle up at the cabin. That makes sense now. Because I was like, why are you washing your bottle? You have stickers on it. You're like, I need to put new stickers on it. So we went there. And then I think.
And then you surprised me with an aviary.
Yeah. So we took her to Tracy Aviary, which is like in the middle of, I like to call, what was the park that we went to?
Oh, shoot.
Liberty Park? Liberty. We went to something called Liberty Park. Granted, it's not the best park, but it's kind of like 1/100th of the size of what I would assume Park Central would be in New York. So it's a very small like park, but it has like a little bit of everything, but it has this place called Tracy Aviary, and it's just birds everywhere. And mm-hmm. we know that, Bean, you love birds. So
yes.
That's why we went there. That was a lot of fun. I've been there for it before. It was actually, I think, my first date with Felix, but it got cut short because I didn't realize what time it was. So I'm like, we'll come back eventually. And then, you know, of course, years later.
It was so cool. There were so many cool birds there that I hadn't seen before. And it was really funny as we were walking around. I was like, I was walking around plucking feathers off the ground and like reaching over the fence a little bit to pluck feathers off the ground. And Felix was like, are you just snatching up feathers and sticking them in your pockets? And I remember sticking one in Space's pocket because it wouldn't fit in mine.
But it would fit in mine perfectly.
Yeah.
You made noises too. You were just like all over the parrots and like, oh man. To explain how Bean interacts with people and just like it and her excitement, like a kid.
Yeah.
You're like a kid. it was just so interesting
I'm
to watch.
I'm wiggly.
Yeah. So that was fun. We did that. It was also super hot too. God, everything about this trip was fucking hot. Like, to kind of like put it there, it was like 90 degrees, plus there were fires from like everywhere, so there was smoke in the air too, which wasn't great.
Like when I got there, the temperature was perfect. It was like in the 70s, and then it's like once it hit around 4 o'clock, it got in the 80s or 90s.
It was gross. And then the drive. the drive. Normally I'm okay when I'm driving. I'm usually okay with driving like an hour or two, no problem. But that drive, there was traffic. And there was construction. And Bean got to experience something called space rage.
This is not something I would have learned about space until I met him in person. And it is that he is an angry driver. You guys
hear
this sweet boy talk. No, when he's behind the wheel, he's like, get out of my fucking way. Look what I just saw. Where's your blinker? Like,
just, bitch. You're a bitch.
You're like, oh,
asshole.
The whole time.
It's so true, though. So, like, yeah, you guys, for the most part, get, like, the happy side of me. But when I'm, like, when I'm overtired and I want to get somewhere and I'm stuck in traffic and we're talking, like, god-awful traffic, the bad side of space comes out. The diva in space. And that's never a good thing. If you ever hear the diva, like, being described in space, that's a bad thing.
So. And like, it was a weird duality because I, at that point, once we were in the car and on the road for a while, I'd probably been up for close to 12 hours and 12, 13 hours. And so space was like in the front raging while Felix was like just scrolling through podcasts. And then I was in the back with a mixture of being highly entertained, being fascinated by how weird Utah looks, and then being dead asleep. Like, there was no in between. It was those three emotions for me. Asleep and dead. Entertained
like
or fascinated.
One emotion on me, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Up until we got to about... did we get to Bear World first, or we did go to Subway first, and then Bear World?
We went to Bear World first.
So Bear World is in Rexburg, Idaho. So it's probably like the... I wouldn't say it's a halfway point. I would say it's about the three-quarter way point to where we were going to our destination. But we wanted to go to Bear World because we could actually feed baby cubs. Oh, so amazing.
Best experience ever.
Fucking hot, though. But
it was
so
hot. It was
amazing.
In the blazing sun, too.
It really was. But it was so cute because, like, you go in and they have three bears. And
four.
I don't know. No, there were three.
No, there's four each.
Were there four each?
There's four each, so there's eight total.
No. There were three. Because Felix said there were three. Remember, there was three. There might have been four on the first one, but there were three on the second one. I think.
Either way.
Whatever. So, they had these baby cubs. They are trained to sit and then basically kind of just take the bottle, but dude, when they take the bottle, these things are just like,
oh my like, god, it was so intense.
They are hungry beasts, man. But like, you could, like, while you're holding the bottle, like, in one hand, you can actually, like, pet them with the other hand, and it was the best experience I have ever had, because
their noggins
always
were so soft.
Them. They really were, and they were just so gentle. Some of them were aggressive, but for the most part, they were so gentle. What I thought was the cutest part was that towards the end of the first feeding, you could see the other bears in the next section. They were already pretty much lined up and ready to go in their spots. Like, they just knew that it was coming. And that was so adorable.
And then one of the bears, I don't remember its name, but the trainer was talking about how this bear in particular still has the habit of purring, which I didn't know black bears did. But when it really likes a person or another bear, they'll like gently chew on your clothes or the other bear's
suckle
arms.
I think.
Yeah, like a little like suckling, and then it'll like have a purring sound, and it was so cute.
I didn't know that bears purred, so you could actually hear it. And I'm like, that was adorable. So that was a really amazing experience. When we go back, because I want to go back up, there's like a bus kind of like thing that you can do where they, or like an outdoor excursion where you can actually feed the bears and the other
like
ones,
the adult bears,
the adult bears and stuff, which would be a lot of fun to do, but I don't want to do that like in the hot sun again.
Yeah, maybe
I want to go. Yeah, maybe when it's cooler and stuff. I mean, and I do want to go back to Yellowstone too, but not during a holiday. Remember, we went during a holiday, so it was a lot busier. God, it was a lot of fun though. We got pictures, and I'll scan the pictures that we have for Felix and I, and then Bean as well. And then we'll be attaching pictures to this particular episode that you can click on it and you can see what we went through and all the different things, because I took hundreds of pictures. Just god awful amounts of pictures. And so that was a lot of fun. And then from there, I think I bought licorice. I think I bought like.
Oh, you bought the best licorice ever. It was like huckleberry licorice.
Yeah. So like the thing up in Yellowstone is huckleberry. So huckleberry everything. We still have huckleberry jam. In our fridge, and they're tiny, like these tiny little tart, kind of like they're like a tart blueberry, like the weird blend between a lingonberry and like a tart blueberry, basically. So I wouldn't say it's not something I would definitely like spread on a piece of toast. I might put peanut butter and then that on top of it because it's just really intense. But that licorice was damn good.
Well, you didn't know that I just looked up that licorice on Amazon and added it to my wish list.
Nice. From there, we went up to Subway, which was our half. Well, I guess was our lunch at that time.
Yeah, it was like a halfway point. The funny thing about the Subway trip specifically is that the person who was making my sandwich was obviously some kind of LGBT person. Probably either non-binary or a lesbian, like if I were to just take a wild guess. But their name tag said Sydney, and my real person name is Sydney, and I immediately looked at them and I was like, hey, your name is Sydney? And they're like, yeah. Is your name Sydney? And I was like, yeah, it is. I guess that means we have to be friends. And they're like, hell yes.
It was a super dorky moment.
It was. It was very dorky, but that's what happens when a queer meets another queer with the same name.
For real. There's a lot of Johns. I meet a lot of Johns, but they're never gay, so I haven't had that moment yet. Ugh. Bummer. From there, then we went to the cabin, which, you know, didn't take very much longer to do. And really cute. We kind of talked about this on the other episode. It's like this. It looks like a little tiny little cabin on the outside, but then on the inside it totally looks like a hotel, like a 4-star hotel room. Mm-hmm. Like, so you have like this little room in the kind of like kitchen meets like a living room, and then there was your room, and I was expecting our rooms to be together. I didn't think they were going to be spaced apart, so you had a pretty big room. And then we had a king size bed.
That bed was huge.
It was such a weird thing, because it's like you would think with the king size bed, we would like sleep towards the middle or kind of like sprawl out, but no, we both kind of stuck to our sides. So like there was just so much room in the middle, because we have a queen bed at home. We don't have a king. So that almost felt like I fell off the king though, because it's just the way that it was, but it was so comfy. Oh my God.
The beds were super comfy.
So good. Like, so good.
I remember just... So that night we were just chilling on the couch for a while, and I remember my eyes were like glazing over while I was watching the TV, and I remember Felix looking at me and going, "You need to go to bed." And I had, at that moment is when I remembered that I had been up for over 24 hours, and I was like, "Yeah, I think so." And I shit you not, I remember getting off the couch and I remember waking up. I don't remember putting on my pajamas. I don't remember brushing my teeth. I don't remember laying down. I just remember getting off the couch, and then from there, it's blank.
See, okay, I so envy that, because I only slept, like, maybe 6 hours that night. Because I got into bed, and I was like, all right, I'm good to go. And then I woke up, and I'm like, oh my God, I am so awake right now. So I went into the living room, and I just watched TV for, like, 2 hours, and then I went back to bed.
Dang. So,
which was such, like, a bummer, because again, I had also not been up at the same amount of time that Sydney or Bean had been, but I was equally overtired. And you would think that, like, I mean, I took like enough to like knock out like two people medication wise, and I still couldn't fall asleep. So that was something. That's probably what played into my space rage on
day two.
Day two comes around. And that was the day to go into the actual park itself. We went and got, what time did we go into town? Like what, 10?
We went to town at around, I would say 10:30, 11.
Yeah. We kind of like took our time waking up and stuff. We walked around. There's a lot of like walking around, lots of stores. Mm-hmm. They always have a sale going on. And it was really interesting in that town, because I had looked up the restrictions for COVID-19. Each state is a little bit different. I mean, based on what their restrictions are, but for particular West Yellowstone, it was like, you didn't have to wear your mask outside, but you had to wear it going inside the stores, which I was totally okay with, because I was normal. I was used to that. But what I wasn't used to was the fact that you could walk around town, no one judged you, and you never, like, you kind of felt like free. So it almost felt like you were in this bubble, like this town was a bubble, and you felt like for that time being, whether it was like 5, 20, an hour, whatever, you felt like COVID didn't exist in that moment. And that was such a relief to feel that, right? Because we're all stuck in these, like, restrictions, or, you know, you got to do this, or, you know, you can't go out. I mean, there's like, in some parts of Utah, I think there's like bedtime restrictions and stuff. And for the most part, everyone wears masks, but it was so nice for that one moment where I could be like, I can let my mask drape to the side, but I can also put it on too. And either way is okay.
Yeah.
And I'm very much like mask and everything, but I'm going to tell you, I enjoyed not having to wear my mask for a few moments. It was really nice.
Yeah, and there were, like in Georgia, there's a mix of those two things, right? Like closer to Atlanta, it's like you feel the pressure to wear a mask and all that, which is fine because you're supposed to. Like I'm, you know, pro mask. But then in the opposite end of the spectrum, there are areas of Georgia, like little hick towns, where if you wear a mask, it almost feels like there's people glaring at you going, oh, look at that liberal, like, you know. And it's like,
yeah,
somebody's wearing it. Like, I mean, I am, but just because anybody is wearing a mask doesn't mean they're like a liberal snowflake. What the fuck? And so sometimes in specific parts of Georgia, you feel pressure to not wear a mask, which is even weirder than pressure to wear one. It's so odd. But Yellowstone was very, like, you could do open. Either or, and it was okay.
And I checked, there were no hot spots in that area, so it had a very, very low, like, infection rate. In fact, it was almost like non-existent, which was even weirder because everyone is coming from everywhere in the country to this one area. But it almost seemed like there was like this mutual agreement, like, yeah, everyone's here, but we respected each other's distances. And I don't think I ever felt uncomfortable.
We didn't feel crowded. Everybody was at least 6 feet apart. Like, if there was a crowded store, we didn't go into it, that kind of thing.
Exactly. But, I mean, it was still a lot of fun to be had. We went into this one restaurant called the Slippery Otter. It's a pub. We got there right as it opened, so we didn't have to worry, because everyone's like, don't go to this place because they're always going to be busy and they're not very sanitary. We actually went into the Slippery Otter. It was very sanitary. There was no one in there, so it was just us for like 10 minutes or so. The food was really good, but their food's good, but I think it's overpriced, like dramatically overpriced. For instance, I ordered a 4-cheese pizza. This is like a personal pizza. Its retail price was $15.50. So it's probably about, it was almost as big as my hand, but that's not very big. And there really wasn't much to it other than the fact that it was just, you know, sauce and cheese and maybe some fresh basil. And even Felix was like, you should have gotten the large because it would have been better. And I'm like, I know, but I was just so hungry. And so I ate that thing and like, well, I was really slow to eat it because I didn't want to like finish before anyone else. I felt bad.
Usually personal pizzas are a scam no matter where you go.
Well, except for like Pizza Hut, though. You get like $5. Personal pizza is like huge, like thickness wise. But
I don't like Pizza Hut very much.
But they had like just everything with there was just like overinflated and overpriced. And I'm just like, whatever. But their food, I mean, their service was good. It was cute because it was like a touristy attraction. I think afterwards we got like, we stopped at this little coffee shop, which
that ice cream waffle was so good.
So good. They had like this Japanese ice cream waffle, the one that you guys see like on YouTube all the time. I got a coffee there because I'm like, hell, I need a coffee. And it was so damn delicious. And so was that ice cream. Was it like, I think we got like a huckleberry one for sure.
No, it was a vanilla ice cream with some chocolate drizzle on a waffle.
So good either way. We didn't go into the park right away though. We did hear from our server at the Slippery Otter to not go into the park until around 2 o'clock. Cause that's when traffic dies down.
And she was right.
Yeah. Like when we were there, it was bumper to bumper in every direction to get into the park. It was ridiculous. But around 2 o'clock, there was like no cars. That should have been you know what I'm thinking now? That should have been a red flag because that would have been right around the time that everyone also needed to leave the park. That's probably why. We'll get into that in a second. So we go to...
We go into Yellowstone.
Yeah, we go into Yellowstone itself. And it's
one of the first things we saw was a whole bunch of elk like bathing in the river. And I had never seen anything like that before. And I was fascinated. There was like six of them. And there was a park ranger there telling cars to keep moving because if people had kept stopping to take photos, then nobody would get anywhere. But it was so cool to see. And like, they're so big in person. I never would have thought.
Buffalo and elk are like everyday things that they're everywhere in Yellowstone. But for people like Bean who have never seen one like up close or even in the wild at that point, it's definitely a treat. But for like me, I'm just like, I've seen it. I've done it. Whatever. I just want to get to where we're going, which we were planning going to the Grand Prismatic Springs. And then we were going to go to Old Faithful, but we stopped at the Prismatic Springs first, which you like to call.
Oh, I called it the Stinky Fartlands because it smelled like sulfur on the way.
But it was. There. It really was.
And sulfur just smells like old people farts to me.
I like the smell of sulfur because it reminds me of fireworks.
I could see that.
It's the smell that you get after fireworks and stuff. It wasn't as packed and busy, but it was so pretty though. So it was like, how do you explain this? So it's clear, like crystal clear water that is boiling hot, and it's hot out there. But when you get a wind from the mountain that comes straight at you, it is the weirdest sensation because you get like hot and muggy, but then you get this cold breeze that comes at the same time. So awesome. I wish I could have that.
I like to think that's what it feels like to be fried ice cream.
It's like cold and hot at the same time. I think from that point too, if you turned to the west, going up north a little bit, Bean happened to notice these two hills that were perfectly together. What did you call those?
I called them, I think I just called them boobs.
Yeah, the boob hill.
I just remember pointing and saying, look, boobs. And then you and Felix looked, expecting to see actual boobs. And you
said, yeah, that's what I was like.
And you were like, wait, what? And then Felix was like, oh, boobs.
The hills are a perfect set of boobs. I took pictures. I tried to like take the best picture. And I was like, okay, I'm going to like outline this when I get home so it looks like boobs. But I haven't done it yet. It took me a second because I wasn't really like there per se. So here's the interesting thing, right? So the last time I went to Yellowstone, there were a ton of Asian people everywhere. But it was so interesting because you go into the park and there wasn't that many. There was like barely any because of COVID, because no one can really travel. So you had like a modge podge of like people. I did see a lot of people from India though.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was really interesting because I wasn't expecting that, but there were tons of them. No problem. I just thought it was a little interesting is all. But it was like, for the most part, it was really cool. You go up to the top one and it's just like kind of like these really cool looking rainbowish colors that are seeping into the water itself. And then of course you get that like breeze that comes off. And what I thought was really cool is not just necessarily the breeze, but like how, I guess you could say, the steam kind of like rolled off of the water. It was the coolest looking thing ever. I tried to get it on film because it almost like it was dancing across the water and swirling. And it was just, I don't know, like you have to be there to fully experience it and get it, because I could like explain it all I want to over this podcast, but it doesn't make any difference unless you actually are there. So for anyone who's been there and you know what I'm talking about, you get it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh man, what I thought was really interesting about the Prismatic Springs was that like the walkway that it was, there was no railing or anything keeping you from not jumping into it, right? But I always thought like maybe I had video game brain or something, because when I looked at the water, I was like, if I touch that, my skin will dissolve into just being bones. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is up with this, why it looks like this, but it must be acid or something. But that wasn't the case, because I saw like elk hoof prints in the mud and things like that. So things were obviously walking through this. It must have just, but then I ended up seeing a sign that was like, don't touch, you'll disrupt the bacteria ecosystems. I'm like, okay, so that's why you're not supposed to touch it with your grubby human hands. Like, it's
every once in a while though you would see like a hat.
Yeah, we did see a lot of hats, and it was because the breeze that was coming down the mountain would like flip people's hats off, so there were like two or three out there.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, how do people not put this like two and two together? Like, a wind gust is gonna come and the bill of your hat is just gonna lift right off. Just mm-hmm. like, come on, let's just do the math here. There were a ton of people doing like Instagram pictures, and I wanted nothing more to just go by and push them off the trail. Just because like it was so stupid. And they were just like the iconic, like, you know, pose, get the
perfect, wearing like, swag. Like,
yeah, like
it's like, just, bro, you're at a national park. Why are you wearing your Gucci hat and skinny jeans?
This is so stupid. Like, this is the most ridiculous thing ever.
Like,
so
I'm sitting here wearing my khaki pants and a tank top. What are you doing?
I tried to make sure that I was in at least one of their photos because it just felt so ridiculous. I need to put my Bean in there. I'm sure I got deleted, but still, like, don't go to Yellowstone and do the Gucci like Instagram thing, whatever. Enjoy it being there. That's what you should be doing, not being there to get like your followers and what all that jazz.
Yeah.
It's a tourist place.
What was really weird for the, when we got to the spring specifically, what I thought were really thick clouds on the horizon. I thought, cause it was a pretty cloudy day, like not cloudy where it wasn't sunny, but there were clusters of clouds everywhere. It was really pretty. And over the horizon, there was just these really thick, I thought they were cumulonimbus clouds. And we heard when we started walking back that it was actually a fire going near Old Faithful. And it had been there for a couple of days. It was just really small, but it had grown kind of large. And so we ended up not being able to go to Old Faithful because there was a fire there, which was a big bummer. But like, it was also really interesting seeing how the smoke was traveling. Like, that in itself was an interesting experience.
Well, and the thing was, is when we were driving up to Yellowstone initially, like, I saw that there was smoke, but I couldn't figure out, like, I could not figure out where it was coming from. And then I noticed that, like, when we got into Yellowstone, it kind of, like, changed direction. I'm like, it's got to be somewhere, but, like you, I thought, okay, maybe it's clouds, but, yeah, that was a bummer. And it was because of that, like, tip that we ended not going, we started to see a lot of cars going back out of the park all at once. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, so everyone's exiting the park now. But that thought really hadn't like sunk in until later that evening. Because then we decided to go to another area of the Prismatic Springs that Bean calls Volcano Spooge.
We went and saw a different...
geyser.
A different geyser. And it this was really cool because this geyser had like a window of opportunity that was like 8 hours long.
And they can usually predict.
Yeah. And the park rangers are basically like, I don't know, it'll go off anytime between 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's their best guess because it's completely random for this specific geyser. And we were like, oh, we could just sit around and see, maybe take a couple pictures. So we walk up to this geyser. And literally only maybe 2 minutes after we're sitting and watching, it starts to go off. We were so lucky.
Yeah. And the thing is just like, it was a long gusher too. Like the thing, like it was huge and then it would kind of like die down and then it would go huge again. And so
it definitely had multiple spurts.
There's a part where Bean's like videotaping. I am making like the most inappropriate sexual innuendo comments about this.
I remember you ran away because you thought it was gonna hit.
Oh my
us.
God. Well, there was like, yeah, there was like one part, like there was the very beginning because it was like huge and there was kind of a breeze that was coming from behind us, but I didn't feel like it was gonna be enough to protect us. And I'm thinking, oh my God, that geyser has like super hot boiling water. I don't want to like lose my beautiful skin. So I run the other direction. Everyone's standing there. And then I'm like, oh, okay. It's not going to hit us. Okay. No big deal. So I walk back and I just couldn't stop making jokes. Cause I mean, literally it was like an orgasm, like a nonstop orgasm for like 10, 15 minutes, but it was probably the most beautiful thing we've seen.
Nature spooge. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
But I guess you couldn't breathe, though. Was that the sulfur?
Oh, man. So something that's really interesting about going up to Utah in general, but then going even further into Yellowstone, since I'm so used to Georgia's like levels, being so far away from, what's it, sea level?
The elevation was much higher.
The elevation was so much higher. My body was not used to that. And so we were just casually walking to the car. It wasn't even that far. And by the time we got into the car, I was like dying. I felt like an old woman that just climbed a flight of stairs. And I remember you like giving me an inhaler and it actually working.
I'm like, Felix and I are just like having no problems because we're used to this because we're in, you know, Utah's a higher elevation. So when I first moved to Utah, it was a lot harder to get used to it because it is a higher elevation, but it takes some time. And then I think like after like a month or two, you get used to it. But like, I didn't think about that for you because I'm like, why are you having such a hard time breathing just outside?
Calm down. You're so dramatic.
After that, we kind of drove around. There was like this little loop that we were on. The Volcano Spooge was on the loop. We went down to this one area where it was really calm. There wasn't really anyone there. There was like one trailer that was parked there. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, I bet they're like third world, like white trash people that are just sitting in there. And I walk around, I'm like, oh, there's no one there. Okay, never mind. I was like, man, if we had stayed the night there, I'm sure we would have gotten murdered.
God.
But there was a lot of like, it was kind of like where the sun was not necessarily setting, but it was in a point where it wasn't hot as much anymore, but it was a lot of cool breeze. So Bean went off and did her thing.
I was drawing in my adventure journal.
Explain what your adventure journal is.
My adventure journal is this little leather-bound sketchbook that I have that I usually bring it camping or hiking. And I'll use it to try and sketch what I'm feeling around me. And this sounds so hippie, but it's basically I'm drawing the scene that's in front of me, but I'm not going for any kind of accuracy, or I'm not trying to draw to make it look good. I'm just kind of drawing to get what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling into the scene itself. So like I do it in pen, and I limit myself to do it in usually 10 to 15 minutes. So it's very scratchy and very fast. So I basically sat down on the ground and like was drawing for about 15 minutes in pen while Space and Felix were walking around.
And like, I wouldn't say I was like, I mean, Felix was walking somewhere. He had already gone, like walked further up, and I was just taking my time. I was taking pictures, and I was kind of like just observing the ground, because the ground in that particular area was really fragile. And so wherever you saw smoke, there was more than likely a little like kind of like a cavern or a little cave that kind of like went underneath there. Not like big enough for you to like walk into, more or less like you could probably like reach your hand into it, but I wouldn't, because it would melt your freaking face off. But it was really cool because I looked at all of them and I'm like, this is really neat. And it was just like a nice, relaxing moment. The calm before Space's rage took over.
Oh, God. Why don't you talk about your rage?
God. Okay. So if we thought like day one rage was bad, luckily I wasn't I think Felix drove into the park, and he drove around the whole time. So I just kind of was a passenger at that moment. But I didn't have to be driving to be pissed off, because as I had noticed when cars were starting to drive out because of the fire, I knew that we were going to be stuck in traffic, but I didn't know how bad that traffic was until we were stuck in it for 2 hours. Now, I calculated the time to get from West Yellowstone Gate to where we were took only about 20 minutes when we got into the park, but it took us 2 hours to get back out. We're talking like moving a couple of feet every few 10 to 15 minutes or so. It was awful. And there was this car in front of us. Oh my God. I just wanted to, like, if I had Jedi powers, those kids would not exist, and that Jeep would have been thrown across the mountains. Like,
God. Yeah, these kids in a Jeep were like the driver wasn't drinking, but the passengers were all like passing around White Claws and ciders and stuff. And they were like, they kept getting in and out of the car for some reason. And like just goofing around and being rowdy, and like there's nothing wrong with goofing around and being rowdy, but when it comes to the point where it slows down traffic even more, or when you're like riding up on the butt of the person in front of you, or slamming your brakes on for the person behind you, which was us, like that's when it starts to get annoying. Like you're not driving properly. You're just ooh.
It was just so annoying. And it wasn't just them too. I think there was a car ahead of them too that they were kind of like, I think they were like part of like a caravan or so.
There was a Jeep about four cars ahead that I remember one of them ran over to them to give them drinks too. And then they ran back to their car. And I remember getting out of the car to just start walking, because I had to go to the bathroom really bad and there's nowhere to go. So I just started walking to try and get it out of my system. Right. And so after about, 5 minutes of walking, I walk by the other Jeep, and one girl is kind of walking behind the Jeep just to walk. And then two guys were in front of the Jeep playing Frisbee. And then there were like four people inside the Jeep, like hanging out the windows, yelling, shouting, drinking. And I remember somebody in the Jeep shouted, "Yo, this Uber sucks." And then they threw a drink out of the window, like just the drink part, not the cup. But I don't think they did it on purpose. I don't think they saw me, but because they did that, like a shit ton of ice and water splashed onto my legs. And I remember glaring over at the Jeep, and then the girl who was walking behind it saw what had happened, and she just looked at me with pain in her eyes and mouthed, "I'm so sorry." Like, I'm assuming she was walking behind the Jeep because she was tired of dealing with them. God, I think Jesus, I got ice.
And we didn't really go much. We didn't really make much ground there either. Bean was basically seeing like what was going on ahead of the trail. And we really couldn't tell. Like, we couldn't tell if it was a buffalo, because sometimes a buffalo will just walk across the road and it stops traffic. And that's normal. But the traffic on this one wasn't normal. And the worst part was, is one, no cell phone range whatsoever. No one had a signal. And two, we didn't know what the emergency radio was, nor could we get the radio to work. So we had no way of knowing what was going on for some
time. Yeah, because our best guess was it was because of the fire. Like, were we evacuating? Yeah. Because they weren't letting people go to any of the attractions to try and encourage them to leave. And we did end up finding out that the traffic was because of the fire, and they had to close off, like, what was it, two of the other exits? So they only had one exit open. So yeah. Everyone was trying to leave out of the same spot.
Everyone was funneled out. And the way that the road that we were on was coming was is that it came to like a Y in the road. And so only so many cars can go at a time. And so they were actually like, there were park rangers out there directing traffic. And I'm like, well, that makes more sense. And at this point, as soon as we get close to the entrance itself is when we get internet back. And I'm like, yes, civilizations. And I was like busting on my phone and I'm like Googling, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And we finally figured it out. But we get back and it's like 10,
mm-hmm.
9 or 10 o'clock. We hadn't had we had snacks in the car, but we hadn't had dinner. And I was just so over it. Like the whole afternoon, I'm just done. And I'm like, I'm hungry, but I'm pissed. And I just don't even want to think about it right now. So then I think Felix, like you and Felix walked over and got pizza, right? You got a pizza somewhere.
Yeah, we went and I don't remember what the place was called, but we went and got some pizza. And then I stopped at a gas station to get drinks and chocolate for y'all because you wanted to cheer you up. And so I got snacks. And then we ate and watched YouTube videos.
And that's pretty much like how the rest of the evening went. And it was still fun. I packed in the morning. I woke up late again. We were supposed to do fursuit pictures in the morning, but I was just so tired and just kind of still dealing with the crap from the night prior. So I just stayed in and kind of just slept and packed. And you went out and did pictures with my husband.
Yeah. So I got Felix suited up and we took my camera out and we went and took fursuit photos outside where it was nice and sunny. And it was nice and cold out in the morning too. Like it was crisp. And I think if I remember right, Felix was like, yeah, it feels great. It doesn't even feel like hot in this too right now because it was so cold out.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting a few cars to honk at them and some people waved and stuff like that. It was really cute. If anybody has ever been to Yellowstone, you know, in the middle of town, there's a statue of like a grizzly bear. So we ended up walking to that and like walking into the statue that's in the middle of the road and taking a picture in front of it too.
And then you guys came back, we packed up and then the last place we went to, oh, actually no. So we packed up, but I didn't know this. You had discovered some mysterious food.
Yeah, so I opened up the cabinets just to see if we had any more coffee, and I found a mystery box of microwave mac and cheese that was unopened and like a homemade cookie that was wrapped in saran wrap that a previous guest just left, and I guess the maids just didn't check the cabinets. And I was like, well, the mac and cheese should be fine. I microwaved it and ate it for breakfast, but I put way too much water in it. So it was more like mac and cheese soup, which was kind of gross.
And I was looking in the cupboard too. So I'm like, what else is in here? And so I look in there and I find that there's like this home baked cookie. It was kind of like soft and hard, but it was wrapped, but there was no like label on it. And I'm like,
it was definitely a homemade cookie.
And I'm like, I don't want to risk it. So
we threw it away.
But it looked so good. Before we left, we wanted to go to this place called the Grizzly and Wolf Discovery Center. We've heard about it multiple times. People have talked about it during the trip. And so we wanted to go there. Really, really cool Discovery Center. It's kind of like the Tracy Aviary, but with bears and wolves. And where'd you go, Bean?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I was just like waiting for you to chime in. we witnessed a lot of things.
Oh my god. Okay, so this place is really cool, but something was up with the wolves because
I don't know what their deal was.
We walked over and started watching them, right? And one of them, you know, was doing normal dog things, normal wolf things, but one of them started chewing on grass, and we were like, oh, you know, I wonder if that has the same effect as it has on dogs. And like 5 seconds after I said that, one of them started doing the puke dance that dogs do, where they're just like, and then it threw up. And then it's like, it was fine after that, but then it started rolling in its own vomit. And we were all like, other ones were rolling in it too. And then another wolf rolled in it, and then also ate grass, and also threw up. And like three different wolves at the same time were just going, and I'm like, oh my god, what's happening? Did they all drink the Kool-Aid? What's going on?
Yeah, and I thought like maybe you had thought maybe it was like enrichment, or maybe there was just something that was they weren't agreeing with. But like one of them not only just threw it up and rolled in it, but then ate it again like a dog would. And I'm like, oh, gross.
That's just what they do.
What is wrong with you? I don't know if I got videos of it, but if I did, I'm definitely going to link it in there so you guys can see what we're talking about. It's not that great, but it is what it is. But that was a lot of fun. And we drove home, self-explanatory on that one. And when we got home, we kind of like unpacked, and Felix and I want to show Bean this anime that we've pretty much shown everyone else. It's called Shimaneta, and it's just basically totally centered around the fact that in this particular anime, porn and like sex and the acts of it was like all illegal. And so you have like these terrorists who are like these kids that are basically trying to make it like not illegal, and they're trying to do things, and it's just, it's so ridiculous, but we felt like we needed to, you know, pop your cherry with that one.
God, that was such an entertaining anime. I need to keep watching it, honestly, because like while it sounds ridiculous, it was genuinely a good anime. From the like three episodes I watched, I was really entertained by it. It was just funny. It was so weird, like I don't know how to explain it, but it was funny.
Youngins, I wouldn't recommend, like, if you're 14, don't watch it. If you're 16, and you know, it's up to you, you do what you want, but 13, 14 and under, I would say stay away from it for a couple of years. Don't, you know, because you don't want your parents to walk in you.
Yeah.
Watching that's probably about the equivalent to porn. They're going to be like, what the hell are you watching? And there goes your fandom.
and when we went to your house, it's like, it's exactly what you imagine some like gay furry dude houses would look like. Y'all had plushies everywhere. Literally, like the guest bedroom was full of them. Your bedroom had some. The living room had a whole bunch just around. And honestly, it was really comfy.
We had in your room, we had like an 8-foot teddy bear, and then like a 4-foot or a 5-foot like white polar bear in there. Yeah. These are like plushies that we've collected over the years. And so, you know, like when we had like guests over the other night, and we put most of our plushies away, but then we showed like our friend, like, this is where it really is. And we like open up the closet, and there's just, it's like exactly what you would expect. If you like shove your closet door and you're hoping that it locks so that it doesn't bust open with plushies, that's our closet.
Yeah.
So there's just a ton in there. Honestly, we should probably donate it, but like whatever. Let's keep it. And then apparently I took a long ass hour shit.
You did. So Felix and I were just talking on the couch about just whatever, and you had been gone for like an hour, and I was like, did Space go to take a nap? And Felix was like, no, I think he's on the toilet. And I was like, for an hour? And then Felix was literally like, yeah, it takes really long poop sometimes.
So I got it from my friend Rear, because he takes really long poops too. It's not just that.
Are you like actively pooping the whole time? No. Are you just sitting there with poopy butt until it dries? Like, what's happening?
No. So basically what it is I poop for like the first 15, 20 minutes or whatever. And then
it's still a really long poop space.
Well, because I'm not going to force it all out at once. Sometimes
I can get it one and done in like 5 minutes or less. There is no need.
Okay, so in reality, it probably is about 5 minutes. But then what I do is I wipe, and then I wash my hands and stuff, and then I just sit back on the toilet and I just play my games. The thing is, it's like my private zone that I know that I have no one to worry about. Like, no one can bother me because I'm in my zone.
Yeah, like if a cop knocks on your door and is like, "We need to arrest space so and so," and they're like, "Oh, he's pooping right now," they'll be like, "Oh, okay, I guess we'll wait." Like, who's gonna bother you while you're pooping?
Yeah, no one. Yeah, exactly. No one's gonna arrest you while you're pooping. That's messed up if that's the case. So yeah, I guess that's what happened that night. Jeez, I didn't know, man. You guys were talking like kink. Bummer. I would have.
Oh yeah, we were talking about kink stuff.
The next day was the saddest day because that's when you were leaving.
Yeah.
That was a day that I was, you know, dreading. We went back to 9th and 9th for gelato.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to this really cute place called the Children's Hour.
That place was so cool. So, like, if y'all are avid listeners of the show, you know that I collect toys and specific stuffed animals, not just any toy or Charizard. Stuffed animal. They usually have to be, well, yeah, Charizard related, but also just any cool, like, if I find a brand that I particularly like, or if one has a cool history, like if it's been recalled for any reason, stuff like that. And this store was full of these stuffed animals. I'd never felt any stuffed animal that's as soft as these, and they had a whole, like, a lot of character to them too. Like, they were all really unique looking to me, or most of them were. But the brand was called Jellycat, and there was a dragon one that I fell in love with. It was like jewel tone blue and red, and Jesus Christ, it was way overpriced, but I got it anyway. And Felix helped me with it because he's a doll. I ended up getting it and looking up the brand online. And let me tell you, ever since I got back from Utah, I have slept with this dragon every single night. Even if I'm not sleeping in my room, I go back to the room to get it and then sleep elsewhere with it. I have not had a night where I have not slept with this fucking dragon plushie. It has become my new comfort item. And I looked up the brand online. And I'm obsessed with them. I'm going to make it like a treat for myself to buy one every year now. I ordered one. I'm waiting on it. It'll should be here in like 2 or 3 days. But I ordered an alligator one. And next year I'm hoping to order like a lizard. Oh my God, they're so soft, y'all. I know I'm just geeking out over a stuffed animal brand. But Jesus Christ, they're from London. So you have to order them overseas.
I do not like sleeping with plushies. They're too hot.
I'm a big person,
but like I've never slept with a teddy bear or anything of that matter when I grew up. So naturally, to me, I don't need to hang on to something or sleep with something. It almost like I just get kicked off the bed.
That's so interesting because I'm the opposite. Even though Casey and I live together now, I still sleep with one or two stuffed animals, and I've asked her if it bothers her because obviously, like, I'll turn around to spoon her, and it's really funny because she'll be in my arms, but then near my legs, there's going to be like a dragon kind of in between us.
My God.
And it's not huge or anything, so it's not like it's keeping me away from her, but there is always a stuffed animal on the bed with us because of me.
Such a weirdo.
Look, man, they're a comfort item. I also like having one half of my back being part. I sleep on my back. I can't cuddle my fiance and fall asleep that way. I usually cuddle her for a little bit to wind down and then roll over on my back and fall asleep. And I'll have a stuffed animal with me that'll be kind of pushed under only one half of my body. And it makes me feel comfier. I don't know why.
Anyways.
But that gelato was so good.
Yeah. But yeah, that was our Yellowstone trip.
Mm-hmm. And much. Leaving was so sad. Like, I remember in the car on the way back, I was like, "Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry." And then as soon as y'all parked the car, I was like, "Eh."
I don't typically get emotional on trips and stuff. I kind of just go into the moment as it is. My emotions didn't hit until after being left. And you know how, like, you get like post-con depression for a couple of days because you just had this great, you know, extravaganza of like a weekend? Mine lasted for a week. And I think it's because of COVID, because I felt just so like free in that moment. And I had a lot of fun despite my rages.
They were momentary.
Despite my rages. Momentary rages. For the most part, I had a lot of fun, and it was the most fun I had all year, and I didn't want that to go away because I just didn't. And so I took a day extra to kind of like, you know, I thought I would, you know, normalize a little bit and then go back to work. But man, it was the hardest week ever. I have never had an issue like that before. And so it was emotionally frustrating for me for about a week. For you, you cried. I didn't cry until like after you left.
Yeah, like so. I got out of the car and immediately started going like, like it wasn't hard crying, but I was tearing up. And I remember you both got out of the car to like say goodbye, or I think at least you did. I think Felix was driving. I don't remember, but it felt very much like dad comfort.
Yeah, I can see that.
You were just like, there, and you gave me a hug, and it was fine, but like...
It's going to be okay. You're going to be great. Just let me know when you touch down and all that
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly. It was very much like that.
Sometimes my emotions in general, either my emotions are full, like, fledged in the moment, or in this case, it's delayed.
So, yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. And, man, I want to do it again. Like, if cons get canceled again next year... whatever, I still want to go on vacation again. That was so much fun.
It was very fun. Even if it wasn't fur
related. Yeah. I noticed that you put stink breath bitch on the plane. I want to know about this.
Oh my God. This is just a little bonus. So on our notes, I wrote stink breath bitch on the plane. So when I got on the plane, there was nobody to the right of me, which was really nice. And there was nobody in front of me either. You know, I'm not usually bothered by people having to sit around me or anything like that. It's whatever. But one woman, she was sitting in a middle aisle with a baby. And after the plane had taken off and she realized that nobody was sitting in the seat in front of me, she had asked if she could move to the window seat. And she did. Which, again, that's fine. But what made it not fine is that every time this woman opened her mouth, it felt like hot garbage was being thrown in my face.
Gross.
So like, and whenever I smell a bad smell that I can't handle, I usually like shake my head a little bit, just a little blah, blah, blah. And it felt like every 5 minutes I smelt this woman's dank ass nasty breath. Like her baby behaved the whole time. But her breath did not. Oh my God.
And babies I was never behave on the plane. I'm surprised that baby behaved.
Yeah, her baby behaved. It was quiet the whole time. But then, so on top of her bad breath coming from the front of me, there was this like white woman with her little boy sitting behind me, and he kept kicking my seat. And I kept glancing back at him through the little gap between the window and my seat to like try to give him the hint. And then finally he did it really hard right as I was about to fall asleep. And I got so mad, I whipped my head around so fast and like glared at his mom instead. And she looked scared. I'm like, please control your child. There's no reason for this. I don't care if he has ADHD. I don't care if his legs hurt. You know what? I'm about to chuck him off his plane if he don't stop.
I'm the opposite with in the past, because I've never flown with Felix. Whenever I fly on an airplane, there's kids, especially if there's one next to me, I'm playing with that kid. That kid is like, I'm all over trying to make it so much easier for the mom so the mom doesn't have to worry about it. Because I don't mind playing with kids or helping out someone on the airplane. So it keeps me busy, because then if I'm flying on the airplane, let me just tell you, my hands are glued to the armrest because I am certain the plane's going to fall out of the sky. So anything to distract me, really. It's bad. I don't know. Did Felix ever tell you what I do for plane rides, like the mm-hmm. night before? Okay. It's a little known fact. We tell this to our friends when we go on major trips or something. We didn't tell this, I don't think. Maybe I did. And we just forgotten. But if I'm out to go on an airplane trip or a plane ride, wherever, for the 24 hours prior, I watch videos of planes going down, things that are happening, like the worst that can happen. And I don't know why. I think I just do it to psych myself out. If I'm going to an amusement park, I watch roller coaster horror stories on YouTube. I don't know why. If it's a train, I watch derailment videos. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm like, it's just like a psych out, because it's like, okay, this is all that could really happen. And if it happens, it happens. So a little known fact there for you guys.
God.
Anyways, that was our trip to Yellowstone. If you guys have ever been to Yellowstone, please email us, let us know.
Yeah, we want to know about your adventures.
Exactly. I wanted to thank everyone who did participate in the spooky stories for our Halloween episode. That was very nice of you. We got a lot of people that mailed in, and that was so nice. So
that was a really fun episode.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We'll be coming out with an update here in the next week or so with more of you guys needing to email into us, but we'll let you know what that is when that time comes. Before we let go, do you have anything else you want to add?
I don't think so.
All right, folks. Well, you know how to reach us. Information is down below the episode, and then pictures will be also attached as well. And I guess we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time, y'all.
Bye.